Listen up, real estate investors, entrepreneurs, and agents. You're in the right place. Unlocking the secrets to real estate investing and entrepreneurship. Welcome to the Titanium Vault, hosted by RJ Bates III. Here's RJ.
Hello, and welcome to the Titanium Vault. I'm your host, RJ Bates. Today is episode number 40. I cannot believe we're already 40 episodes in, but today is a very special day because I have with me my childhood best friend, Elijah De La Garza. Elijah, how are you doing?
Doing good today, buddy. How you doing?
Oh, man, just today's special. I know you've been bugging me for about 40 weeks to be on the podcast, so we finally got you on here.
I told you I wouldn't be the sidekick, and you won't let me.
So why don't you start off by introducing yourself and tell people a little bit about what you do as an entrepreneur.
Okay, so I'm Elijah De La Garza. As an entrepreneur, I was raised by a father who was also an entrepreneur, which I find common. And he was in roofing, so I've been doing roofing pretty much as my career choice since the very beginning. And I recently got into real estate investing.
So, you know, you talk about you've been in roofing as an entrepreneur pretty much the entire time. But I think what kind of differentiates your story from most people's is that you became an entrepreneur pretty much right out of high school, and obviously we've been best friends since fifth grade, and so I was there alongside you during that journey. So why don't we start the interview by, you know, going back to that time and what that was like and kind of the choices you made coming out of high school to become an entrepreneur.
Okay, well, you know the story. As we graduated, you guys all went off to school, and I stayed behind for, I guess it was, what, a year? You had one full year, and then I tried to get in, and I ended up getting into UNT. And at the time, my philosophy on school was if you needed to become a doctor or a lawyer and that was your calling, then, you know, you required a degree of some sort. But for me, since I was a child, honestly, a little guy, I can remember dreaming about all the things I wanted to do. They would say, well, what do you want to do when you grow up, little boy? And I would go, well, I want to own a restaurant, and I want to fly airplanes, and I might want to be in the military, not too sure. I probably want to own some businesses, definitely want to build stuff. And really, I think building stuff is where I ended up settling. And that's why I like roofing, and even real estate, it's got to do with building. But back to the main idea there, out of high school, went into college, I decided, you know, it's not really for me in very short order. I don't like authority, really. And also, you know, having to take tests to prove to someone that I'm smart enough to get a piece of paper to show someone else that I'm smart. Just, I don't know. In my psychology, that just doesn't work. I saw people go from the bootstraps, and that impressed me more. You know, more people that I met that were really successful were just really good character people and did a lot of hard work. So, you know, I decided I'm going to go in that direction. And I took off to Florida with my dad to chase a hurricane. And before that, I mean, there's just so many pieces of the puzzle. I can give you too many details, but skipping ahead, you know, to Florida, that was really the point at which, you know, I was still a young man smoking a lot of weed, being kind of a long-haired hippie dude, just rolling along with pops to go to chase the storm and make some money, help people fix their houses after the hurricane. And, you know, that was a difficult decision, leaving behind my friends and my comfort zone and my family. But I saw an opportunity. I didn't know how I was going to partake in that opportunity and make it meaningful for me. But along the way, I started reading some books. You know, Randy Gerber with E Myth and Robert Kiyosaki, the Rich Dad Poor Dad series, all of those. I consumed those. I reread them. I made notes in them. I was just like, oh my God, this is speaking to my soul. This is what I believed the whole time. Like, all these people going through this system being taught to be like sheep and just pay your taxes and save your money and you'll be successful in life. And it's just BS. I would see it. And I'm like, it's a lie. Everyone's in debt. And I don't know. I wanted to blaze a trail. And so You know, I went down there having zero experience and worked from dumping trailers to pops, I want to be 50%. And then that ended up after Hurricane Wilma hit South Florida, we went down there. He gave me a shot because he said, you know, son, you got to bring something to the table. You got to bring a license, or you got to bring men, or you have to bring money. You can't just say, give me 50%. What do you bring? And I said, I bring Elijah. I'm bringing everything that I've got. I'm going to live and breathe this. I gave up on everything I have. And, you know, this is something I was just talking to one of my sales reps about last night, is people ask me, you know, sometimes, not all the time, I'm not as successful as you are, buddy, but sometimes people do ask me, you know, how do you do what you're doing? And I just ask them a simple question back. I say, if you want what you want bad enough, are you willing to do what it takes to get it? Because that's what it really boils down to. There's going to be so many decision points where you go, this isn't comfortable for me. It doesn't feel good. I don't want to do this. It's not what my body is telling me is good for me that makes me feel good. But my mind is telling me I'm going to bear that uncomfort and leave and just do this. And I'm going to have some faith and I'm going to make the best of it and work hard. And that's what I did. I mean, I ended up getting the corporation set up with Pops, and you know, he said, okay, show me what you got. And, you know, my dad is, he's a character. We won't get into all that, but let's just say I did a lot of the effort, okay? I went in and he let me really take the reins, and I appreciated him for that. He was trying to hold me back, actually, more than anything, just like, son, you're dreaming too big, and, you know, be realistic. And I'm like, oh, don't squash my dreams, you know?
Right.
But I went down the street and found the furniture. We couldn't find an office. I walked into shopping centers and just started asking people randomly, like, I need a, where can I get an office? And, you know, I made it happen. I got the phone lines hooked up. I ordered the yard signs and the business cards and found sales reps and created accounting systems. And I can't even begin to tell you, you know, that's the first step in my entrepreneurial career, really, was South Florida, where I really, you know, I started seeing $15,000-$20,000 checks come in as deposits on a job that I couldn't build for 6 months. All of a sudden, I've got $800,000 in the bank, and I have no money to pay out to anybody. I'm like looking for someone to give the money to. Like, wow, this is uncomfortable. I'm not used to this. You know what I mean? Like, it was a weird feeling. Like, I'm doing something wrong. You know what I mean? And I wasn't. You know, but it was like, this was crazy. And then I started building jobs, and people were just like, wow, you guys are awesome. And I just learned so much in South Florida with Miami-Dade. They require a lot from you, and the phases of implementation of steps and systems that we had to come up with was what, you know, it woke something up inside of me. I think because I'm a little bit Asperger's, you know, I have a technical side to me that's very logical, and I like being in a technical environment. You know, so when these guys were like, no, what you do in Texas is for roofing isn't even a roof. Let me show you. This is what we want you to do. We're going to require affidavits and foreign inspections and all this BS. I was like, I actually turned on by that. You know, like, I want to learn in a place where it's the hardest possible to do what I'm doing. You know, I went and bought a motorcycle when I got successful, and they said, go buy a little 600. And I said, you know, I'm going to go buy a 1200. Probably a very stupid move. You know what I mean? Too big of a bike, too fast. But I wanted to go try it the hardest way first. So that's kind of how I got into construction and, you know, the roofing industry. Insurance restoration in particular is a very interesting industry where there's a lot of wheeling and dealing. And, you know, you and I have a lot of experience together in that, actually. So, right, you know what I'm talking about. But that industry, with as brutal as it is, as difficult as it is, teaches you some skills as an entrepreneur that I think very few other jobs that I've held became even close. You know what I mean? That set me up, in right, my opinion, for doing what I'm doing now with you and Titanium.
Right. So you touched on a couple of things there that, you know, you talked about do whatever it takes to be successful. And once you achieve a certain level of success as an entrepreneur, you do have people come up to you and they want to ask you, like, what was the secret sauce? And you know, you brought up do whatever it takes. And that's really something that, you know, here at Titanium, we're very, like, that's always in the forefront of, like, that's a core value that we have. And just last night, you know, we have a flip going on here in Fort Worth, Texas, and it has to be done by today. And we had two team members, you know, my partner here in Texas, Cassie, and our project manager, Mark. They stayed at the project last night working until 5:30 in the morning. And they were both up and back at the job site by 8 a.m. because that's what it's going to take to get it done. And it's that kind of dedication to do whatever it takes. I've had people on here that have told me stories about, you know, their first flip they moved into, they didn't even have enough money to turn on the electricity, so they lived in the house with no electricity while they were rehabbing it themselves. I've had people tell me they literally bought the house to flip it and were living in it when it had no running water, no electricity, no windows, no front door. They were whatever it took. And now these people are multimillionaires. So, you know, for the people out there that want to know what it takes, it literally is, you know, do you have what it takes inside you to do what, to achieve those dreams that you have? So, very good point. I just wanted to touch base on that. So going back to kind of your journey from, you know, you went down to Florida, let's fast forward through all of your journeys. I know you ended up going to back to Texas, then you went to Denver, and then you went to Phoenix, and then back to DFW. Is that kind of a good chronological order there, where like your roofing experience kind of transitioned?
It did. That's pretty accurate. I think there was another Texas in there at some point, but
right.
Needless to say, I never want to move again in my life.
Roy, yeah, now you're living in paradise. So,
yeah.
So with, you know, getting back to kind of our story, I think it was late 2010. Was it 2010 or 2011 when you called me for exact claims?
Yeah, it was like 2011.
So 2011, I was in a transition in my career, and Elijah called me one day and he said, hey, I've got this business. You know, we're a consulting firm for general contractors. We're doing their insurance supplements on their insurance claims, and I want you to run the business. And he said, I'm flying to Texas. I'll be there next week. Love to sit down with you and show you what we're about. And I met him at his parents' old house, and he showed me the back office system and what he was working on. And I'll be honest with you guys, I looked at it and I had zero freaking clue what he was showing me, but I just knew it looked cool. And I had an opportunity to work with my best friend from my childhood. And so I had no idea what I was going to be able to do with the business, but I also knew that internally I would do whatever it takes. So I took the position. I worked for Elijah for quite a while. And, you know, we really got a good experience of finally working together. And now looking back at it, I think both Elijah and I realized it wasn't in the right industry or the right business. It was not going to be something that was sustainable to achieve our goals. It was a great idea, but there was nothing proprietary to it, and people could rip us off. And basically that's what happened. And so we ended up splitting ways, but that was a great opportunity for me and Elijah to work together and kind of, I guess, pseudo become partners in a business and get a feel for how each other works. Towards the end of Exact Claims, Elijah moved to Hawaii. And so, Elijah, why don't you talk about your experience with going out to Hawaii and starting the roofing out in Hawaii?
Sure. So with the whole Exact Claims thing, I had a partner there, Jeff, and he ended up teaming up with one of our clients at Exact Claims, who was officing in the same building as us, and they decided they wanted to chase the hellstorm. And RJ, I know you remember this. We were watching news and weather patterns all the time, looking for where the damage was so we could call the contractors and try and court them, right? So we saw Hawaii happen, and we were like, calling, and the people were telling us, buzz off, there's no hell in Hawaii. And it was very discouraging. And then a year later, these you know, numbnuts go over there and they're like, we're gonna go to Hawaii. And I'm just shaking my head, like, and then they don't even ask me to go. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, you know, you're in here telling me I'm the wizard and no one can get the better money and knows the systems and you built databases and all this. And then they decide they're gonna go over to a new place together and just didn't even invite me. It was kind of hurtful, to be honest with you. But I'm not a prideful guy. I don't have very much ego. I think that kills a man. So I just said, you know what, I'm just going to kind of sit back here and do my thing. I put a lot of love into Exact Claim, so I'm going to keep doing that. And then I got this random call from Jeff, who had become a friend of mine at that time, not just an investor or partner, you know, but, you know, a lot of people don't like him, and that's just because he's a straight-up guy, but, you know, he called me crying, and I'm like, you're usually like a dick, so something's not, oh, am I allowed to say that?
You can say whatever you want. It's a podcast.
Okay, very good, because I'm trying to hold back on the expletives, but anyways, you know, they call him that. I just think he's straight up, and I appreciate that. But, you know, this guy who I see in full control of his emotional faculties at all times and utilizes them to the fullest extent to get what he wants out of life, and I'm so impressed by that. And then he calls me, and he's crying, and I'm like, what in the world is going on, buddy? What's happening? And he just goes to tell me this story about what's been happening, and they're – all the sales reps are fixing to leave, and he spent like $250,000 getting down there and this whole thing. And, you know, the honest to God first thought that came to my head was, well, you deserve it. You know, like, you didn't invite me down there. This is something you could have avoided, and now you're going to call me to go rescue you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not interested.
Right.
But that's pride again, you know, and I'm not that kind of person. I know that all humans have those emotions, but I put it down, and I'm like, okay. So I decide I'm going to go down there, and they buy me a ticket. At this point, I'm so broke at this time in my life. It was crazy. I mean, it was not a good time. So I'm like, it seems like it could be a new opportunity, and it'll breathe some life into my Exact Claims vision. I want to build this program and blah, blah, blah. I had some highfalutin dreams that were not realistic. So needless to say, I ended up down here not knowing what I was doing. Again, in my life, I've had a repetitive way of doing this now, where I go into a situation from the first one with my dad, the story that I told earlier, to the Phoenix, Arizona with ABF and Denver, and every place I can tell you, I started out with zero. And I was behind the eight ball, and I was hurting, and there was something inside of me that came alive, like a passion, and just a, no, I'm not going to allow this to get me down. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to fulfill this dream, being at the worst place possible. It's like, that was rock bottom. So I said, okay, let's build a foundation, you know? So I went out to Hawaii, like, here we go again. I don't know how I'm going to get paid. I was literally depending on someone to buy me lunch every day. And feed me dinner. I had no money. I'm trying to scrounge together funds to keep my rental unit in Texas, where I had all my storage unit, where all my possessions were at, just keep it from getting repossessed so that my wife didn't murder me. You know what I mean? Like, my life was horrific at this time. I'm sleeping on the air mattress in a room. That's it. There's no other accommodations. You got a toilet, and here's your breakfast. Now let's go out and work. And no paycheck for a good 4 months probably, and not knowing what it was going to be, how it was going to turn out. And I just got up every day with a good attitude, and I just looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, you are this, this, and this, and this is what you're going to do today, and you better get your big boy pants on and go do it. And I did. And so in short order, we put together systems. I created contracts. I went back to existing customers that had monies held up and wouldn't release them because these guys didn't know what to say and were confused on the process. And I individually touched base with them, met with them at their houses, collected checks, put it in the bank, alleviated Jeff's stresses. And we brought crews in from the mainland. I hired the guys. I brokered the deal for the license with Beachside Roofing, is the largest roofing contractor in the state of Hawaii. They had all kinds of things going wrong. No license numbers on the yard sign or any of the contracts. They don't have one. They're selling under a different name than they're supposed to. I mean, it was just like, woo, you guys are just skirting on going to jail almost here. You know what I mean? Like, I got to really apply some love, and there's no money. And it's just like, why am I coming here to do this again? And everyone's fighting and they're arguing, and there's guys coming over to beat Jeff up. And I'm like talking them down in the living room, like, no, he's a good guy. And this is the story. And they're like, we don't give a fuck. We want our money. And I'm just like, oh my God. I mean, it's like Thad Bittiger even coming over getting aggressive. I was like, this is the most gentle giant of all time. And this dude's pissed. Like, this is not right. And you know, I just did chin up and rolled with the punches, man, and just one thing at a time. And before long, we were being featured on the news. We had banners in people's front yards. We turned the team around, hired local guys, set up a telemarketing division, and we ended up doing over 600 roofs in the windward side of Oahu within about a 12 to 18 month time frame for a little bit over $8 million in gross revenue collected, which I did the numbers on it because I keep statistics on this thing. You know, being a baseball fanatic, I like stats a lot. So my database is like my way of seeing my percentage of, you know, my home runs and RBIs, if you will, you know. So I was back in there like, what did Elijah bring to the table? And I went back and looked, and I collected about 40% of the dollar values at the end of the day. So it was well over $3 million that I personally grabbed from people's hands, you know what I mean? So
nice.
It was a killer story, man, and it was interesting how that went down. I ended up getting paid $3,500 a week, getting a nice vehicle and living in Lanikai, one of the most exclusive enclaves in the world. It was an interesting transition within 6 months to go from zero to 100 miles an hour again.
And then that's when the entrepreneur itch came back, right? And eventually you started your own roofing company, Roofing Solutions of Hawaii, correct?
Well, and I won't get into the deep details because that's a long story and there's some other concerns there. But the short story is that Beachside is the number one by far in Hawaii. They do, you know, between $35 to $50 million a year in revenue. And their closest competitor is half that, you know. So they're the big dogs. And they really like me. I really like them. I just had lunch with the owners like 3 weeks ago. They're some close personal friends of mine. I love them. And so they wanted me to be a part of it, and we had this deal going on. But, you know, they're a big corporation, and Elijah, once again, I don't fit into the mold, and I'm not going to do reporting every week for you and all this different stuff. Like, that's not Elijah's role. You know, there's a way of putting it that I like to use this term. You can't make a plow horse out of a racehorse, right. You know, and that's what they're trying to do. So I just said, hey guys, look, I gotta figure something else out. And it had kind of worked its way out. The sales had stopped coming in, and I had wrapped up all the problems and cleaned all that shit up, and we were just getting to the end of it. And then I ended up teaming up with a local contractor, Jeffrey, my new partner, through some interesting circumstances involving all kinds of craziness that I can't get into again. Maybe sometime in the future we'll have an episode where I'll tell that story. Because honestly, the last person I told it to was like, dude, you could write a movie about your life. Like, this is the most interesting stuff that has happened to you. Like, just the stuff that's happened to me in the last 2 days. Oh my God. Anyways. So needless to say, I just decided I got to go do this on my own. I'm tired of being beholden. I've always had an insecurity in business, if I'm going to be real, and I'll be, you know, vulnerable here and say that. I always felt like I needed someone next to me to back me up and be that security blanket to make me feel comfort. Like, if everything's not going good, I have someone that, you know, is there. My dad or an RJ or somebody is with me, you know, in the fight, in the trench. I don't like doing it alone. It's not fun. But I just decided, you know, this time I'm not doing that anymore. I'm tired of the way that the interactions go. I want to see what I'm really made of. And so I took off and I found Jeffrey. He was willing to let me run his company. So it's not my business technically right now that I'm running, but, you know, we are, you know, having good relations. He's a good owner and I'm a good manager. Let's put it to you that way. You know, I do my job and I control the day-to-day operations and get to play and have fun and advertise how I want and hire who I want and do what kind of jobs I want. So, we, in short order, me and a good friend of mine, Kainoa Haleka, he's a local Hawaiian guy who I became good friends with, dreadlocks in the works, coolest dude around, I mean, cooler than a fan. You couldn't find a better dude to go drink with and talk to, and he'd take the shirt off his back for you, you know, and he was just like, I don't want to learn. So me and him just got together and said, let's do it. We had a little white van. I was broke again. The thing had come to an end, and here we go, starting to cycle up again. You know, we're going to start from nothing. So we went and found a job and made some decent money on it and started rolling it. And before long, we were doing apartment complexes and we were doing churches and hospitals and new construction Dunkin' Donuts and big school projects. I mean, the last Firestone job, I mean, just getting certified from Firestone in my life is something I've longed for in my career since I was like 21 years old. And, you know, that's 12 years in the making. And to finally say I'm a Firestone certified, GAF certified, everything certified. You can name the biggest manufacturers, and I got a piece of paper that says I can offer you an NDL warranty. That was hard, man, to get that. So, you know, putting on a roof the size of 6 football fields, you know what I'm saying? That was like, okay, I'm getting major. But what it did to me is it got me into a different mindset. It's kind of like, and I'll wrap up here because I'm sure we need to move on. But, you know, it's like when you have a wife and you're living in a modest home and then you move up to a big home and then something happens and you try to go back. That's never going to happen. That doesn't work. You know what I mean?
Right.
Once you go in one direction. So I've kind of, you know, tasted blood and seen what can happen on these bigger, better projects. So now my goal is to only do 6-figure deals. And I mean 6-figure in profit, not 6-figure in revenue. You know, I want to net over $100,000 minimum on every deal I touch, or I don't want to spend my time on it because I've determined that that's how valuable my time is when I calculate it. You know what I mean? So here's where we are in Hawaii. Then you came along with this titanium thing, and you know, I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, so you know, this entire time Elijah's going through all of this. You know, we're talking on a weekly basis. You know, we're both busy, but we were trying to stay in communication as best we could, and he's telling me all these stories, and I mean, I have to admit, you're right. You should write a book or have a movie made about your life at some point in time. I'm sure it's only going to get better as we get older. But the whole time, you know, Elijah's trying to convince me that I need to come to Hawaii and work in his roofing business. And in the meantime, I'm starting up Titanium Investments. And, you know, I'm telling Elijah, I'm like, dude, I can't do that. I mean, I love you, but I'm crushing it over here, man. I'm making more money than I've ever made in my entire life, and I'm just getting started. Like, I think I'm onto something. And so over the course of time, you know, Elijah starts telling me, he's like, man, you know, I know this guy that, you know, he bought some land and built multiple properties and then subdivided it and sold it. He made a couple million dollars, and, you know, maybe there's an opportunity for us to do investing here in Hawaii. And so you know, me being who I am, anybody that knows me or done business with me, you know, I act very quickly, and it did not take a whole lot of convincing from Elijah. So, we got a local realtor to give us MLS access, give us a portal so we could start finding properties. We found one that was a pretty decent deal. We put it under contract. And we deposited earnest money, and within a couple of days, next thing I know, the sellers have backed out of the contract. They've sent our earnest money back, and well, they found out that the owner of Titanium Investments is from the mainland, and he lives in Texas, and they didn't want to sell the property to someone that lived in Texas. And very quickly, we learned that investing in Hawaii is a lot different than what I've experienced here in Texas and in other markets. So we kind of had to put some more thought into it instead of acting quickly, which is definitely not something that fits mine and Elijah's personalities. But we eventually created Titanium Investments of Hawaii. I have to say that, you know, this specific entity is quite possibly one of the most proud things that I have done in my career so far, because it's for the first time ever, it's something that has taught me how to be less hands-on, and I have to trust Elijah as being the person that is local, and he goes and he sees the properties. I cannot be a control freak like I am here in Texas. And, you know, we've had great success so far. There's not a ton of success so far just because we haven't had that many properties. But we're quickly ramping up, and it's something that I'm very proud of. So, Elijah, what I want you to talk about in your experience with, you know, creating Titanium Investments of Hawaii is kind of what are your early feelings? You know, I guess we're approaching probably about our first year, like our first anniversary is coming up pretty quick for this business. Kind of what is your feelings about becoming a real estate investor and what kind of, how has that changed your mindset as an entrepreneur?
Well, that's a fantastic question. you know, my people here at Roofing Solutions, I've built a little organization, and what I hear from each of them at least three times a week is, well, if you paid as much attention to roofing as you did real estate, then blah, blah, blah. And I'm, you know, I'm hearing it. Luckily here, because of who I am, I'm always quick to put systems in place and to really try to develop what I call a turnkey system. And that means, you know, it's not dependent upon the operator to be there involved in every minute action all day long. And you have some freedom. So, you know, like right now it's 12:40 in the afternoon, my time, and there's people on roofs at multiple jobs, and there's calls coming in and salesmen, giving inspections and writing estimates and materials being delivered and dumpsters being delivered and picked up and bills being paid and all kinds of things. And I'm not being bothered by that, you know, so I'm available to them as they need me. But, the point I'm trying to get to is that, just naturally something that I didn't expect, just because of the Midas mindset where what I do to turn to gold, you know what I mean? It's like I naturally gravitate without even thought about it, like to the thing that is going to produce the most gold for me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, I want six-figure deals. And, you know, one of the greatest struggles I have in business and for every business is sales and maintaining that sales. You don't want to have a bell-shaped curve sales cycle where you hit peaks and then you go through lows. You want to hit like a flat line plateau where it's just like something predictable and dependable over the long term. You know what I mean? And it's a struggle because it is like a bell-shaped curve, unfortunately, you know, especially here in Hawaii. So I don't like that part of it. I'm not good at it. I'm a good salesman, but that's not what I want to be doing. So I've never been, you know, strong at hiring sales guys and developing that side of the business. I can do it at a storm or something because of the passion. But, you know, I'm looking at real estate and I'm going, I don't have to hire all these salesmen and have them running around and dealing with all these customers and all these headaches and these punch lists and these multiple, just like, wow, stop. Look at all the trouble I go through on this column to the left, column A, to get this dividend at the bottom. And then look at all the stuff I do over here for column B. Not that much. No headaches really almost at all. I mean, I still have to go and build, but I'm my own customer essentially because it's my property and I'm the contractor. So I can't piss myself off too bad. You know what I mean? It's like, well, Elijah, you screwed up. The guys didn't show up today. And so
that's not true. You can piss off your partner.
Well, I can, and I honestly do get upset at myself, and I maintain a high level of expectations for myself. I never satisfy myself. I'm always disappointed. Now, I congratulate myself when necessary, but, you know, I'm looking to always improve, and, you know, I look at it as if I'm the customer, and I sit there and I go, okay, I got RJ, he's got expectations, and we've got investors, they've got expectations. There's people on the job that need to get their paycheck on Friday, they've got expectations. When you break it down, there's a lot of people depending on us to do this. So I have to remind myself to stay focused. But back to the point, you know, the business of real estate is a dream of mine that I've had for a long time. I've never even bought a home. I've never been a homeowner yet, not even a first-time buyer. And I'm 33 years old with five children, and I've lived in a lot of gorgeous homes with no credit. You know what I mean? Just cash. Cash is king for Elijah. So I'm in the process of kind of getting my credit back from the 2008-2007 crash there and getting back on top in that regard. But, you know, I want to build cash reserves, and I don't see anything available to me that has more flexibility or it allows me the freedom to be my own boss like real estate does and to do it with my best friend and then in Hawaii and to build systems and have an opportunity to really get efficient and make a load of money and do good for people, help them out of bad situations. I mean, I just see this as really where I'm going. I mean, it's won me over 100%. I want to be a real estate investor. I'd like to take it to a whole other level because that's how my brain goes. I'd like to be a land developer. I want to go buy land and make a city. I want to plan the streets and the street signs and the landscaping. You know what I mean? That's I got that vision going. But as of right now in Hawaii with what we're doing, it's about organic growth and building a strong foundation. So that's kind of where we're at, and I'm stoked on life. I don't care what's going on. This is providing energy to me, as much energy as I'm giving it every day. You know what I mean? It's inspiring me to want to go.
I think you have a very unique perspective on real estate investing because of the market that you're in. The numbers there are almost like cartoonish. They're so skewed compared to other markets. For example, you know, we've bought a couple of rental properties for $160,000. We're going to put $10,000 in rehab, and they're going to rent for $3,000+. That's not common. You know, you don't see that in other markets. Even some of the flips, you know, here in Dallas, Fort Worth, I see people buying at 80% of the ARV minus repairs. You know, there in Hawaii, we're buying at 65 to 60% of ARV minus repairs. So, you know, I'm blessed that all of this happened. And I guess that's kind of the moral of this story is, you know, Elijah's been all over the world, and the right timing, the right maturity for both of us as entrepreneurs and as businessmen to come together, and we capitalize on an opportunity to create something special in Hawaii. And I look forward, you know, this is episode 40, so maybe in, you know, episode 100, we'll have you back on and talk about what we've done in Hawaii since then. But another thing that I guess, you know, you always try to figure out when's the best time to announce something. But someone from our past, Pete Carpenter, who has lived in Anchorage, Alaska, I think since eighth grade, he left where we went to school. But somehow we've all stayed in contact with them, and we have actually created a new Titanium Investments, and that's going to be of Alaska. And you know, I figured why not announce that with having Elijah on here. So it's going to be me, Elijah, and Pete, as well as the rest of everybody else with Titanium Investments. But that's going to be a new venture for us, and it looks like there's a lot of opportunity. Pete's been a realtor up there for quite some time. He's done his own fix and flips and some rentals up there. And so I think, outside of my knowledge, I don't know anybody else, but I think we're going to be one of the very few people that can say we both invest in Hawaii and Alaska. So that's something very exciting that we're going to be able to do. My last question for you, Elijah, is I always want to ask people this, and I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this before, so I hope you have a good answer, because if not, I'm going to give you shit about it forever. Where do you want to be as a real estate investor, so with Titanium, in the next 5 years?
Oh, man, what a loaded question. Do we have another 30 minutes?
No, technically you have like 2 minutes, because you have to go make us money by going and look at a property.
That is true. I do have to leave. Okay, so 2-minute elevator pitch. Where is Titanium going? In short order, we're systematizing the business to have a headquarters based out of Dallas-Fort Worth, with far-reaching arms all the way from Hawaii to Alaska, Arizona, and hopefully an additional at least 10 markets within the next 5 years, all under control and bringing in consistent revenues with full-on reporting. That's something that I'm going to make a personal vision of mine to assist you in that way, so that we can get some 100,000 foot level views. I'd like to be seeing us developing land, buying 40 acres and subdividing it and getting into that mix, pre-selling homes before they're even built, just making wise investments like that into nice locations. I'd like to see us buying apartment complexes. I'd like to see a minimum 100 deep rental portfolio here in Hawaii at a minimum, and more than that elsewhere. You know, I would like to see the wholesale marketing and cash buyers list and investor list here in Hawaii go up and really dominate, both in Hawaii and Alaska, being the only guys that are there with such an aggressive vision, with that warrior mentality, go and really become the go-to buyer and be well known on those places for doing fantastic business. but essentially owning those markets. And then also to move into DFW and help you push it there and dominate DFW, even though that's a heck of a bigger market. We can really do some damage if we put some effort into it. So I would just say off the top of my mind, those things right there alone are some pretty aggressive goals that will require a lot of work. But, you know, I'd like to be pumping out at minimum a wholesale project a week per location. I think that's a baseline that is easily attainable, and we don't accomplish that where we're sucking at life. You know, so 52 wholesales a year per branch. We need to be also taking down at a minimum one rehab per month completed and sold. So you got that overlap from, you know, your initial offer to acceptance and closing times and rehab, and then the back end selling it and all that. But so if you stage it right and you're doing your things proper and you're paying attention to that timing, we can keep it going where we just got one deal to go to after another. And then I just like to make that tandem. You know, you set up that line is going, now you bust over, you set a line right up next to it doing the same thing with a new rehab crew and a new, you know, manager doing your PM. And now we've got two deals a month going on, and then three deals a month going on, so that we can extrapolate it and just keep it going. But, you know, our goal is to own over 1% of the United States real estate market, isn't it, RJ? I mean, that's a baseline.
That is one of my goals. I said it to one person, and they actually ran some numbers on it. I think it's like $1.5 trillion or something. And I just joked with them. I said, look, at the end of the day, the thought came to me one day when I said, I want to actually be the 1%. And that means actually owning 1% of the United States. And I know it almost is an unachievable goal. But personally, for me, that's how I motivate myself, is by setting high goals. I don't like setting achievable goals that I can easily obtain and just make myself feel better. I stay motivated by setting very high goals and always striving to achieve that. And along the way, what you realize is everybody kind of lets you know how well you're doing. And and that's where you kind of stop and you look back and you go, well, we're not at the 1% yet, but damn, we're doing pretty damn good for ourselves. And
so, yeah, we are.
And that's how I kind of motivate myself. So, all right, buddy, I got to wrap this up. I know you got to go check on a project, and hopefully it turns out to be a beautiful one, and we make a lot of money with it. But I appreciate you taking the time, and to all the listeners, I appreciate you letting me talk to my best friend and listen to us shoot the BS on our podcast today.
Thank you for having me, buddy. I appreciate it. And you guys are listening to the best real estate podcast known to man.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
Aloha, bro. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Titanium Vault with your host, RJ Bates III. For more info and to stay up to date, visit www.podcast.thetitaniumvault.com and on facebook.com/thetitaniumvault. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate and review, and we'll catch you next time on the Titanium Vault.